When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
What are your first impressions been of Mac this week as you've joined him on the practice field?
Mac, good energy, awesome guy, man. You can tell he's happy to be here, comes to work, and you know, you just could feel his energy and his leadership already. He has a swag to him that I didn't know that he had at first. You know, he's out there confident, and that's what you need in a quarterback and in all our players. You know, you got to have confidence, so he's come in with that. And I feel like that's going to take him a long way.
New Patriots receiver Kendrick Bourne talking about new Patriots quarterback Mac Jones, 15th overall pick in the draft, the guy that some still are convinced was initially going to be the third overall pick in the draft, the 49ers, until they pivoted to Trey Lance. You know, Mike Reese of ESPN.com had an item over the weekend. He had been to the OTA practice on Thursday, and he said Mac Jones running that offense, seemingly throwing the ball where it was supposed to go every time. Yes, it's off season. Yes, it's against, you know, guys who aren't trying to come decapitate you, but he was making good decisions in an offense where you have to show a mastery of that attack. And so far, so good for Mac Jones in competition with Cam Newton, Chris, but number 30 without ever taking a snap in the NFL.
That's right.
On the Chris Sims Top 40 Quarterback Countdown, ahead of a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Participant,
right,
in Jared Goff is Mac Jones at number
three. Yeah, you know, more talented, I'm sorry. You know, and yeah, he's a rookie, but he's an experienced rookie. And I know it was only 17 games in college, but it's all those years at Alabama, all right, and playing the tough SEC schedule and everything about that and all the things you hear right now. Listen, it's been nothing but positives. All you don't even hear things about these first-round picks in New England. They're quietly gushing about him. That just tells you it all. He is the most NFL-ready quarterback to come out in the draft this year, hands down. That's why he was valued so high. He can play in any offense other than Lamar Jackson. He's a high-level thrower of the football, as accurate as you're going to get in the NFL already right now. You know, anticipation, feel in the pocket, it's all top-notch. That's where Mac Jones is really special. And, you know, to add to what Kendrick Bourne said, one of the biggest things I heard, this is where it's funny with Mac Jones, because, I mean, we talked about it a lot, right? Wish he would wear his uniform better, look a little different, wish he would look a little cooler. He's like AKA nerdy white guy with a dad bod, yet he's 24 or 23 years old. But anybody you talk to, Alabama, New England so far, whatever, Mac Jones has a real edge and swagger about him that is real. And I think, you know, you could tell by listening to his receivers last year, Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle, that there's a real leadership factor about what he brings to the table too. But yes, I think he's ready to go right now, NFL ready. And yeah, I give him the advantage over a guy like Jared Goff. You heard me say last week, I mean, Jared Goff, I'm not all that impressed with his physical abilities, and he doesn't play the game like an experienced fifth or sixth year type quarterback. So that's where it's like, okay, there's no advantage to be had there. Mac Jones, I'm excited about. I don't know if he plays this year, but when he does, I think it's going to be damn good.
I just wonder whether Bill Belichick takes Mac Jones into the equipment manager's office and says, make this guy look less like Bobby Lane, please.
There was just, seriously?
It really was an obvious quality. Oh. The way his body looked, the way his uniform fit, it just was like, this guy's a quarterback who's highly regarded by the NFL. Something doesn't compute here.
I know.
We have seen over time, even though it's not like quarterbacks for the most part are cut up and but they're not dumpy looking, and
right.
He's kind of dumpy looking.
He's
so
square
we'll
looking, yeah.
It's ultimately not going to matter if you can get the football where it needs to be. Here's Bill Belichick from last week. We played this on Friday. Chris, I want you to hear this, talking about both Cam Newton and Mac Jones, because I think Belichick likes both of them, which is going to make the decision as to who starts even harder.
Cam's been here all the way through. He was here at the beginning and has been a consistent participant, continues to give us the usual, leadership and energy that he brings to the field and to the workouts and to practice. So, Cam's very professional, and I'm sure that he'll, continue to work hard to do his best out there like he's always done for us. It's never been anything but that from the day he got here. But really, we're starting everybody at the same point like we always do at this time of year. So, Mac dove into the playbook and continues to do that. And, like everybody out there, we all have a lot of things we got to work on, and that includes everybody. And so that's what he's doing. That's what everybody's doing.
When you were in your hammock, Peter and I discussed on Friday the reality that even though there's some nepotism in the coaching staff with a couple of Belichicks not named Bill who work under him, it's a meritocracy on the field. He's going to go with the guy who gives the team the best chance to win. And it's going to be a hell of a decision, because you can make the argument that either guy can help the Patriots win this year.
No, I think Mac Jones, like I said, he's NFL ready. There's no doubt about it. That's the kind of football he played at Alabama. And, if there is a rookie that could come in there and start, it would be this guy. I've heard the phrase blown away by what they've seen to this point come out of New England. Blown away. So that doesn't mean it's just like average or okay, or he's working hard. That means there's a little something more to it. Now, I don't expect them to be the starter. I still expect it to be Cam Newton, but I do think that like Mac Jones will challenge, and New England's going to like what they see from the guy. The big thing too, going back to what you said before we got to the Belichick press conference there, the looks, you got to get past the looks. Yeah, I know they don't look good, but the results and what you watch on the field are outstanding constantly, Mike, constantly. I mean, his feet, his movement in the pocket was as good as anybody in the draft. It was the best. Accuracy, probably the best in the draft. Decision-making, the speed in which you could go through and like read and react and diagnose coverages and all that, like I told you, it was the best in the draft. As good as I've ever seen, other than Joe Burrow from 2 years ago. So all those things are, pretty special, and of course really held in high regard in New England. And that's where, to me, people are missing on the Mac Jones. And Mike, people are already, they're already covering their tracks with Mac Jones. All the haters in the world that, I can't believe he's going to be drafted in front of Justin Fields and Trey Lance and all that type of stuff. All the people, there was the excuse, if the 49ers take him, well, then he's got Shanahan's offense, so it'll work. And, New England took him. So it'll work because it's New England's offense. But I don't hear that with Trey Lance now. I thought it should work. He should be able to play. Let's go. That's what I don't like, these double messages sent out about certain players. But he's a damn good player, and he's in the top 30 for me, as you see, as far as quarterbacks.
And for the first time ever, there will be a three-game preseason this year for all teams, except for the Cowboys and Steelers. And for the Patriots, there's a three-game regular season preseason that precedes the week 4 showdown against hashtag Tommy. I don't care what Bill Belichick says. We take it a game at a time. We're on to Cincinnati. Baloney. You want, whether it's Mac Jones or Cam Newton, you want that guy to be ready for week 4 Sunday night, the guy that gives them the best chance to beat Tom Brady. Oh, by the way, Cam Newton, 2-0 all time. against Tom Brady, even though quarterback wins aren't a stat, it's worth pointing it out. All right, Andy Dalton, guy who will be supplanted at some point, presumably by Justin Fields. Dalton's got that one-year, eight-figure contract. He comes in at number 29 on the Chris Sims quarterback top 40 countdown. How long do you think it will be? And it's funny, I'm looking this, and it says, how long until Andy is wearing a hat and earpiece? I thought it said hat and hairpiece. That's a very different connotation altogether. But how long until he's on the bench watching Justin Fields?
Well, he's going to have to fight him off. I mean, it's going to be, the pressure is going to be on him every day. I mean, yeah, you know, Mac Jones is going to put pressure on Cam Newton. I do believe that. But yes, you know, Andy Dalton is going to have to answer the bell and be on his game daily with Justin Fields, the number 11 pick. We traded up to get him and do all those things. And that's what I'll say about Andy Dalton. First off, he's got more physical ability than we all give him credit for. Moves a little bit better than we want to give him credit for. Arm has a little bit more power than we want to give it credit for. He can push the ball down the field, outside the numbers, do all those type of things. He can move out of the pocket a little bit, but it's not enough. None of it's enough for you to just go, man, he's our guy. He's the future. Here we go. He's one of those talents in the NFL where you go, oh, yeah, he could start for us, but I think we could do better. He is one of those guys, and I don't like to say that or be disrespectful in any way about that. He's had a great career. He still can do some good things, but I think it's going to be him having to play at a high level through training camp and preseason. And Justin Fields, I think, would have to play poor or do bad to not even be in the mix, Mike. I think in my heart of hearts, Mike, if I'm the Bears, and you hear me out here if you think I'm right or anything, I have a package for Justin Fields in week one. When we go to play the Rams, okay, we go down and score a touchdown. All right, we get the ball back, Andy Dalton, the offense, they go three and out. Oh, it's series number three. Let's bring Justin Fields in. We got a few quarterback design runs. The Rams haven't been able to prepare for this. They don't know what they're going to do. Oh, we got a nice, easy game plan pass off of one of those runs. Okay, we got Justin Fields on the play for six or seven plays in this, you know, this series. See where it goes. Maybe if you go score points, maybe you keep him in. I don't know. But I would think you have a package ready to kind of slowly get him indoctrinated in early on in the year.
Something I heard over the weekend that made a lot of sense. Now, this sets aside the fact that Matt Nagy, the coach, and Ryan Pace, the GM, won't fully and completely be judged on Fields until 2022.
Right.
So maybe there is some reason to go easy with him. Matt Nagy, fully aware of the Patrick Mahomes career arc, which consisted of, what, in 2017?
Right.
Not playing until the final game of the season, a meaningless game where they played the Broncos, and he wasn't spectacular.
But he was good.
He wasn't anything. He was good enough to get to say, all right, he's ready. He's ready.
Right.
But Nagy, who then became the Bears coach after that season, remembering that experience, remembering that value of having Patrick Mahomes sit, there could be an inclination, Chris, to have Justin Fields sit most, if not all, of the year and be ready to go come 2022.
I hear you. I do. I don't favor that formula. I don't. One, I don't think the Bears are in the same place as the Chiefs. So I think, you know, you might need Justin Fields to grow more than maybe a Patrick Mahomes, if that made any sense, really. But the other aspect, like, that would jump out, or at least that I'll play devil's advocate, because, of course, we know that worked out great. But I'm still more of a guy that put him out there, get him to play. I know Mahomes had that great first year after sitting out, you know, his rookie year. So now it's his second year. Who's to say that year wouldn't have been better, though, if he played his rookie year? That's where I think sometimes people just gloss that over and go, well, Patrick Mahomes sat out his first year and the second year, and look at what he did. Who's to say he wouldn't have thrown for 62 touchdowns and maybe not been fooled by New England in the first half of the AFC Championship game when they were playing some crazy defense? Maybe that experience would have helped him play better in the first half of that game where they scored no points or anything like that. That's all I'm saying. I you know, I'm not to say I'm right or wrong, but I just think it's good food for thought nonetheless.
I remember Travis Kelce being on this show 2017 season. We asked about Patrick Mahomes, and he was talking about the incredible things he was doing on the practice field. And then the Chiefs fell into a funk offensively, and we were saying, put it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Right.
put Mahomes on the field. They resisted for whatever reason, but hey, they could have been in four straight AFC championship games, not three straight, if they had gone with Mahomes. So just because it's worked the last 3 years for the Chiefs doesn't mean it wouldn't have worked in 2017.
Yeah, right.
And it is different, too. Andy Dalton isn't a guy who has equity built up with the Bears.
That's
He's
right.
The guy that they brought in and paid $10 million to, and they called him the starter, and they put QB1 on Twitter, and he may be QB2 before too long. Here's Jay Cutler, former QB1 at the Chicago Bears, appearing on ESPN 1000 in Chicago with his views on whether or not Justin Fields should play or sit.
I wouldn't play the kid to start. Like,
okay.
That's where I would start. I would let him watch, and I think it's just a tough spot to put, you know, someone out there, and especially in Chicago. And you know, I think Andy is more than serviceable. I think they can win games with Andy and kind of float the ship along until he's ready. The kid's ready.
Yeah, and look, if Dalton comes out of the gates and plays well,
then
let it ride. And this is different than Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo comes out of the gates and plays well, you let it ride all season long, then you got a problem next season. Andy Dalton would have to do a hell of a lot to throw a wrench into the plan for Justin Fields to be the guy come 2022. I don't think Dalton is going to be capable.
That's
and
right.
Even if the Bears would be really good, no one's going to think Dalton's the one who came in and did it. So I don't think they have that danger if they do let Justin Fields sit.
You know,
I'm just a firm believer. If you're going to trade up, if you're going to give up a future first-round pick and package it with this year's first-round pick and trade up to get a guy, a quarterback, in round one, fringe of the top 10, you better be ready to use him. And I can't come up with a good reason not to use him.
No, I mean, listen, Andy Dalton, they can win. They certainly do those things, but I'm like you. You're right. You make those type of moves. From all appearances, it looks like 2022 is the year, right? I want to have him ready. I don't want it to be like, whoa, this is the big year. My ass is on fire. We might get fired. Hey, let's throw our quarterback out here and let's see how he grows during the year. No, I already want him like some growth already there. And here's another aspect to where, again, I know they can win and do things with Andy Dalton, and we're supposed to be talking about him, but this is a Bears conversation either way. Right to this point, Matt Nagy's offense has not shown us like that it's going to be anything special. We've seen nothing to think schematically that there's something there with a guy like Andy Dalton that it's just going to pop and here we go. Like, whoa, all right, awesome. It has a chance to be more special with me with a guy like Justin Fields. He's going to give you more schematical advantages in his skill set and what he can do. And maybe expand what I would call a pretty ordinary offense and give it a little bit more complexity and things to think about when you got a guy like Justin Fields, who we know can run the way he can run, and even though he needs polish in his passing, has a stronger arm than Andy Dalton. I mean, he'll be able to launch 65 and 70-yard bombs to stress a defense out that way too. So that's where I get into some of the advantages of Justin Fields. Like, I hear what Jay Cutler's saying, but man, this guy played at Ohio State. He's been in the national championship game. He went to Georgia before that. I don't think the pressure is going to be too much for him. You know, I think it's one of those things that if he shows he's kind of like ready, grasping the offense, doing good in preseason and training camp, like you and I have discussed, that you slowly get him ready early in the year. And when you think the timing's right, you get him in there and you go.
I just don't understand the disconnect that we see where a team demonstrates on draft day how thoroughly it believes in a guy and then acts differently after that.
Yeah, I know.
In this day and age, that doesn't work anymore. And yes, the Chiefs got away with it, but for the most part, just like the 49ers, it's one of the reasons why we're so confused about what they did.
Yeah.
All that you give up. And now you're still talking about Jimmy G being your quarterback. There's something there. There's a split there that I think a lot of fans and a lot of media look at and say, we don't get it.
Right.
All right. From a couple of guys trying to make their mark this year to a couple of guys who were rookies last year. Some news as it relates to Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa. We'll discuss that when PFT Live continues right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Núñez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
He's his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything
except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Joe Burrow last year, awesome until the knee injury. All indications are he'll be ready to go. He said last week he would like to be more explosive in 2021. It helps to have Ja'Marr Chase, Chris, to go along with Tyler Boyd and the other weapons they have in Cincinnati. The question becomes, will he have the time to get rid of the football? He's going to have to maybe go through his reads more quickly because they didn't invest in the offensive line, maybe the way they could have, trying to make it better, trying to protect him, but they've given him one of the best weapons in the draft in Ja'Marr Chase, reunited him with a guy, generated a ton of numbers in LSU. I'm excited about this Bengals team. I wish for them they were in another division, you know, because they could be better this year, but their record may not show very much improvement, and that could put Zach Taylor in serious trouble.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're right. I mean, I think they're a team on the rise. There's a lot to like, but it's a tough division. There's no doubt, and you got a quarterback who, by all appearances, we don't expect to be 100% to start the year. He's probably going to be, you know, 90%, something like that. Have to work his way to 100%, you know. And his explosive comment, hey, that's a real thing. They do need to become
more
explosive.
Look at those numbers.
Yeah.
Look at the numbers.
It shows you right there. You know, how many games did we look at early in the year last year where it's 45 throws and, you know, it's barely 300 yards or something like that. Yes. You know, I think they probably go back and look at it, and he goes, wait, I could be a better player if we could just be a little bit more explosive, stretch the field that way, and it'll help them as a football team. It's just too hard to be going dink and dunk 6 and 7 yards at a time all the time. So hopefully that Ja'Marr Chase element really opens them up.
The key is going to be, as you said, getting to 100%. Will he be there or close to it? And that other element that I've mentioned a few times, when that left knee is exposed as you step up, are you comfortable in the knowledge or the hope that someone's not going to hit that knee again? And maybe it needs to take a hit in that brace and you realize you're okay for that confidence to return.
Right.
Bengals could be very good this year if he's very healthy and if he can get the ball down the field to Ja'Marr Chase. Lynn Bowden Jr. on Tua Tagovailoa recently said, when he lets it loose, we'll win every game. Look, there's a ton of confidence in Miami in Tua. We spoke last week, and we played his own words, an extended clip where he acknowledges he didn't know the playbook well enough last year, which may explain a couple of the occasions when he was benched. But they are really heaping the praise and, in turn, I think, raising the bar for what they expect to see from Tua this year, Chris.
Sounds like it's like a organizational, you know, talking point or something from that standpoint as far as, they're going to like almost will it into reality. And that, you know, when I hear things like that from a receiver and all those type of things, you know, that to me almost sounds like too, like, you know, that's what the coaches are saying. Lynn Bowden Jr.'s in there, you know, with the wide receivers in the wide receiver room, and he's just, you know, they might be watching practice. They're like, hey, man, when this guy finally lets it loose and just stops worrying about being so perfect and not turning the ball over and is a little more aggressive in his mindset like we talked about, like Ryan Fitzpatrick and all those type of things, they got the weapons and team now to go if he's willing to kind of match that. And, you know, from all accounts, it sounds like Tua has recognized his weaknesses, and we'll see where it goes. I'm excited about the Dolphins. I think you are too. We look at them as being a team that could be, I don't know. I don't want to say a Super Bowl contender, but like, man, they're close to that. I think the whole team, whether it's just about whether Tua and the offense can kind of, you know, rise up to the occasion. You feel that way, the same way I do?
But I think that's the key.
It is.
And I think what
right?
they're trying to do is push his buttons in a positive way. Positive reinforcement. Talking about what he can be, what he can do, and hoping to coax out of him that higher level of achievement that they're going to need to get to these levels that they haven't been to in a long time. I think that's the key. And it's not quite Daniel Jones, this is it, up or out. Maybe next year will be that for Tua. Maybe he won't even get that opportunity next year. Maybe this is it. Maybe it's Deshaun Watson next year for the Dolphins if Tua can't get it done this year. But I think they're trying in the most positive way possible to get him to be the guy that they hope he can be. And if he can't be, they're going to move on. It's that simple. That's the way the NFL works. We're going to move on. When we return, we're going to take a look at the best players in the NFC West, not quarterbacks. That's Monday's draft, or Tuesday, as the case may be, when PFT Live continues right after this. All right, there are the top 9, no, not top 10. See, that 1-0 is 10, not 9. Top 10 non-quarterbacks in the NFC West via Pro Football Focus. We're going to be pulling names off that board, or maybe we'll go off the board as we look at the best non-quarterbacks in the NFC West. That's today's draft. The first pick in the draft hinges on Chris's ability to get this question right. Here it is. The Seahawks had 5 playoff appearances when they were a team in the AFC. The first of their 3 wins came in the 1983 wild card against the Broncos. Who were the starting quarterbacks in that game? 1983 wild card, Seahawks, Broncos.
Oh, man, 83. So 83, it is Elway, I believe. I believe he became the starter during the year there. So Elway for the Broncos. And then hold on a second here. Well, this has to be I'm not sure if I do know this because I don't believe it's Dave Craig yet. It's the lefty coach.
Womp, womp. Jim Zorn. Womp, womp, womp. On both counts. Dave Craig versus Steve DeBerg.
Oh.
Elway came in relief.
He came in relief. That's what it was.
Elway.
Okay.
Elway was in the middle of the season, came back for the playoff game. DeBerg returned to the playoff game. Elway ultimately spelled him. That was Elway's rookie year. All right, Aaron Donald. Begins and ends with Aaron Donald. One of the great interior defensive linemen of all time, if not the greatest, Aaron Donald, best non-quarterback in the NFC West.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that was an easy one. I can't really disagree there. I mean, I think, you know, we're officially putting Aaron Donald in a very special class of people. At least I am, as I've always said. It's already in the greatest defensive players in the history of the sport conversation. So good one there. Can't really fight that. You know, honestly, I'm staying with Jalen Ramsey. You know, I don't give a damn. Yeah, he's next to me. I'm gonna go with Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, Jalen Ramsey, NFL passing league best corner in the game, island guy, not just an island cover guy. Really tackles, brings a leadership edginess element to their defense. He's not even on, you know, top 10 graded non QBs. See, this is why grades, you can't always pay attention to them. Yeah, his grades, I'm sure, were a little negative here and there. When you got to cover the greatest athletes in the world, man-to-man, all over the field, you're going to have some negative plays and things like that. But I think it's hard to argue that Jalen Ramsey isn't one of the best players in the NFC West.
And there are a few others that are not on that list that we could consider
make
it on. But I'm going to go ahead. You're going to leave Trent Williams there. I'm going to take Trent Williams.
Go ahead.
Yep. Highest paid offensive lineman in league history, signed the contract to stay with the 49ers. They were very happy to keep him after that trade last year. Sat out a whole season. A guy who can be a cornerstone of your offensive line. A little on the old side, but that's all right. He's still got a few years left in him, and I would take him right now as, let's say, and I agree with you. Ramsey probably would have been my second pick.
Okay, thank you.
So Ramsey's off. I'll go Williams.
All right, good. Thank you. You're right. All right, so that's good. And this is, I mean, I would have been in the conversation here with you, I would have gone, ooh, do I want to take Trent Williams? Do I want to take, there's the Jamal Adams aspect. And then, there, of course, there's George Kittle. I'm going to follow you again. I'm going to go with George Kittle. I am. I mean, he's the highest paid tight end in football for a reason, because he's the best tight end in football when he's healthy. He is. He's a phenomenal blocker. He's amazing, after the catch. He's rare in the fact that he's a 248-pound tight end that can literally go 70 yards to the house if he catches a slant up the middle or something like that. He's a huge part of that offense, but it has incredible versatility in the different ways he can kind of attack you. Slot receiver, traditional tight end, lined up as a H-back or a second tight end, can do all that type of stuff. He's too damn talented, so I'll go with Kittle.
Isn't it amazing?
I know.
We've got two defensive players, a left tackle, a tight end. No running backs, no receivers. I'm thinking Jamal Adams for this pick.
Right.
I'm seriously thinking about it. I'll go DeAndre Hopkins. I gotta take a skill position player. I gotta go there.
Yeah.
I got to. And Jamal Adams, I'm concerned they're gonna have a problem with him this year from a contractual standpoint. They gave up two first-round picks to get him. They're going to have to pay him, and they may have to get him paid by the start of training camp, or maybe he won't be there. I know Hopkins will be there for the Cardinals, so I'll take Hopkins.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a good one. And you're right. It's amazing that Jamal Adams thinks he's gone this far. You could see he's not one of the top 10 graded non-QBs. He got off to a horrible start last year, remember, learning that defense. He made some mistakes. And again,
Injured.
And again, when you're a super talented safety, you get asked to do things that other safeties don't, like covering Julian Edelman 70 yards down the field on a post route. Yeah, most safeties aren't asked to cover the team's slot receiver that way. So that you got to take that into account. But I like your pick with Hopkins. I mean, come on. He's damn special. He's kind of changed around the attitude of that football team. Man, there's a lot to pick up. We got Nick Bosa, who's coming back from injury. Buda Baker's out there. Fred Warner. Oof. I'm going to go with DK Metcalf. I'm going to go next with that. I am. I almost went Fred Warner. I'm not going to lie, but I'm going to go with DK Metcalf a little bit. Just he's too much of a difference maker, game changer, and the fact that he can dictate coverages and the way defenses play because he's such a special entity that way. He's a freak of nature. We know that. Size, speed, yards after catch, everything like that. So, yes, I'll go with DK Metcalf.
Is he another one that was off the board?
I don't think he's on there.
Graded?
No,
I don't think he's on there either.
Right.
My memory is not cooperating with me today, but there is no DK Metcalf. There is a J.J. Watt. There is no DK Metcalf. I'm going to stay off the board then, and I'm going to go with Jamal Adams because of what he can be when he's healthy.
Yeah.
And if the Seahawks get him compensated to the point where he's happy and he's motivated and he's driven. They gave up two first-round picks to get him. That tells us all we need to know what they think of him. He should be on this list.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. He's one of the best defensive players in football. He is, and he is a difference maker, and he's the kind of guy like we've talked about pretty much with all these guys. Like, if you're a quarterback or an offensive coordinator, a lot of your game plan is about where is number 33, where's he lining up, when he's in certain spots and unlocks certain other defenses and what they do, he's a big clue to that, all of those type of things. Let alone, he's up there as far as the best in football, as far as just like, hey, go get the guy with the ball. There's nobody better than Jamal Adams. He's phenomenal at that. All right. Well, I'm going to go with the best pass rusher in the division, even though he's banged up, and Leonard Floyd, as much as I like him, and I've talked about Fred Warner, and there's Eric Armstead. Man, Buda Baker's still out there. I am going to go with Nick Bosa. Got hurt early in the year last year, so I would expect him to be 100% when the season comes around. And as we talked about even before he got hurt last year, going into his second year, he was already in the discussion for one of the best defensive players in the league. Not just like best young player, best rookie, best defensive player. We talked about it in the Super Bowl that year, remember, with the Chiefs 49ers. It was already like, no, Nick Bosa is not just like, hey, a nice rookie we have on the team. He is one of the best pass rushers in football. He's special that way, and I think he'll be a big boost for that team.
I'm going to go off the board again as well based on history. Chandler Jones.
Oh.
He only had one sack last year, was only in five games. But good Lord, 19, 13, 17, 11, 12 and a half. He's still got gas in the tank. I'll take Chandler Jones.
Okay, that's a good one. I like the Chandler Jones pick, certainly. All right. Damn you. You went quick there. I wasn't ready for that. I'm gonna go with man, I'm going 249er centric here. This is what I don't like about this. But I'm going
Well, it's a shock.
Well, I know. I don't mean to. I'm gonna go with Fred Warner, though. I am. I think Fred Warner is arguably the best middle linebacker in the game. I do. I think he's in that type of stratosphere. He is like paramount to the success of the 49ers defense. And when you talk about like team speed and the speed of the 49ers defense, a lot of that is predicated a lot of times when you talk about team speed on defense is because the linebackers are fast. And it starts right there with Fred Warner. He is their Bobby Wagner of their defense. And damn, he's good in pass coverage and the run game.
All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap up this Tuesday edition of PFT Live.
Tuesday.
Right. Check out Mac Jones with the left handed grab. Where is he? Where's number 50?
He's on the left. There he is.
There we go.
Pretty good.
Here it comes.
Ooh, right-handed.
Oh, wow. Right-handed.
Hand. Yeah.
One-handed grab, not left-handed grab. I wondered what was going on there. One-handed,
nice.
Jumping up in the air, snatching it, crossbody. He is athletic, even though his appearance in an Alabama.
Quarterbacks always got the best hands, Mike. They always got the best hands. They're up there with any of the good receivers on the team. I think I've told you once, the greatest compliment I ever got in my career, right, which wasn't many, was Randy Moss telling me I might have the best hands on the Tennessee Titan team because we played a game every day. I tell everybody that. Sims?
You have.
Sims?
Your hand is a big, giant bucket.
I know.
How could you not have good hands?
Well, so was his. He had a big giant bucket for our hands too, but I'll never forget it. We played our games and he went, Sims, you might have the best hands on the team. And I was like, damn, Randy Moss in a West Virginia accent just said that to me. That is the coolest thing ever.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.